Welcome to Tabernacle Presbyterian Church in Indianapolis, Indiana. Today, Pastor John Gable delivers the message entitled, I Believe.
Our first lesson comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, beginning at verse 1. Let us listen to God's word. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. Amen.
Our gospel lesson this morning is taken from the opening of Luke's gospel. This is the way Luke begins his gospel message. He writes, "Since many have undertaken to set down an orderly account of the events that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed on to us by those who from the beginning were eyewitnesses and servants of the word, I too decided, after investigating everything carefully from the very first, to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God, and let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for this, your word, and pray now that my words and the reflections of our hearts might bring honor and glory to you, for it is you and you alone we desire to please, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Earlier this week, I was reviewing all of the ground that we have covered in sermon series since early in the fall, and I came to an interesting conclusion. Given the opportunity to do it all over again, I'd still preach the same messages, but I'd do them in a very different order. Not that I would expect you to remember, but all the way back in September, we began talking about certain markers or practices, commitments that we can make in living the Christian life. So we spoke of worship regularly, live worthily, give generously, serve eagerly. And that led us right into our all-church read of living the gospel in the gray as we discussed various aspects of different ways that we can share our faith with others as we share with them the good news of God's saving grace in Jesus Christ. But what I realized as I reviewed those messages this week is that given the opportunity to preach them again, I think I would preach them in the reverse order of what we're doing now. Perhaps we should have talked about what it means to believe before we ask you to live that faith or to give it away. So what exactly do we mean when we speak of having faith? I know we use that language easily, but what do we mean by it? We had a lively discussion this past Wednesday at the pastor's Bible study when I asked that very question. And while the conversation went many different directions, I think it would be safe to say that we all agreed that to have faith means to believe in something, to be confident of something, to trust in something or someone. We read in this beautiful passage from Hebrews 11, that first verse which Oscar read to us. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. That's more of a statement than it is really a definition, but it reminds us that we have faith in that to have faith is to have an assurance or to have a conviction or a confidence in something or in someone, even at times when we don't understand or what that something or someone is. It also speaks of having a hope in that one. Not so much a hope meaning, oh, I hope, like the little girl who prayed, "Dear God, I hope that Louisville is the capital of Kentucky because that's what I put on my test today." No, that's not the kind of hope we're talking about. When we speak of the hope of faith, we're talking about a hope and a confidence that a promise given will in fact be honored and kept. Now, typically when we speak of having faith, we end up putting that in religious terms. We speak of particular religious beliefs or practices. But really, it applies to every aspect of our lives. We make assumptions based on certain hopes or confidences, such that the money that I put into the bank really will be there when I go to take it out again. That the car moving into the intersection really will stop, as the signal says it should stop. That the seat or the pew that you sat on this morning really will hold your weight and those sitting around you. That the promises made by a spouse or a child or a parent or a friend really will be honored and kept. So having faith in this regard is a part of everyday life. And yet there's a difference between knowing about something and actually trusting it or having faith in it. 2 weeks ago, many of us were at TabFest down at Turkey Run State Park. On a Saturday afternoon, it was a beautiful day, so a number of us decided to go for a hike. We got to a point on the trail that led to a series of 2 wooden ladders that took us from the upper part of the trail down the ladders into the lower part of the gorge. Now, if we were going to continue on this trail, it meant that we had to climb down those ladders. Now, I think you'll agree with me when I say it is one thing to see the ladders. It's another thing to even see people climbing down the ladders safe and successfully. And yet another to actually step onto those ladders and climb down yourself. Seeing the ladders and watching others climb down them requires some measure of knowledge or of agreement. But stepping onto the ladder yourself requires an act of trust, of confidence, which is something more than mere intellectual assent. So let's liken that to the Christian faith. It is one thing to have knowledge about Jesus of Nazareth, to know, to learn, to accept even the fact that he once lived and taught, perhaps that he suffered and died, and yet it is another to confess him as Savior and Lord. One can have a PhD in Jesus and still not know him in a personal, relational kind of way. To have faith in Jesus is more than mere knowledge about him or acknowledgement of him. It is actually the act of putting our trust in him to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That is to save us. And it is in that act of trust that we actually say we have faith in Jesus. It is this confidence and assurance that enabled disciples to drop their nets and follow, the lame to pick up their mats and walk, for disciples to go and preach the gospel and ultimately suffer death, for men and women still to go around the globe telling others, sharing with them the good news of the saving grace of Christ. To have faith requires more of us than simply a nod of our heads in agreement with an argument well made. It is to actually step out in confidence and trust that the one who makes the promise is actually faithful and true. I wonder with you, is there any aspect of our lives that reflects that kind of faith? Is there anything in our lives that we would say, I am willing to stake my very life on the truth and the veracity of this thing, of this one? We often think of having faith as something that we do or something that we have, and there is an aspect of that, of course. But it is always based on something or on someone that is beyond us, in which or on which we will put our trust. There is a content, there is an object to our faith. Now, Scripture will speak of faith being a gift from God. So it's not so much something we generate within ourselves as much as it is something we receive from God, but then literally give back to God. And so while many people will say they believe in God, capital G, not all gods, small g, are the same. Not all things we decide to put our trust in are necessarily trustworthy. And so when asked, which God do you believe in? We will say, we believe in the God who has shown himself to us in Jesus Christ. We believe in the one triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the one we believe in. It is the one we believe on. Now, all of that leads us. This morning we are beginning a sermon series on the Apostles' Creed, which, believe it or not, will take us, admittedly with some starts and stops and diversions, I'm sure, all the way through Advent, which again begins next week, all the way through the Christmas season, all the way through Lent and Easter and Pentecost, all the way through the end of June. And I expect you all to be here every week. Now, so while it's commonly accepted that the proclamation, Jesus is Lord, was the earliest of the confessions of our faith, the Apostles' Creed is the first and perhaps the most familiar or best known of the creeds and confessions that were actually written by the church through the ages. So with believers from the second century on, many of us have committed this statement of faith to memory, and it is something that I hope all of us will do over the course of these next several months. Writing to believers in North Africa in the 5th century, St. Augustine told them to recite it daily. When you rise, when you go to bed, say your creed. Say it before the Lord, call it to mind, and do not tire of repeating it. As I began working on this sermon series, I've begun to put that portion of repeating the creed as part of my daily prayers. Now, the value of knowing this kind of creedal statement, of committing it to memory, is that while it doesn't explain our faith, it does state it very clearly, very plainly. The essential truths of our faith, which have been organized and recognized and embraced by believers in every time and place. So when we stand and say, I believe, we are standing with the saints in all ages who have stood with us when they say, Jesus is Lord. The creed we know begins, I believe in God. In the Latin, credo and Deum. I believe in God. I put my trust in God. I put my confidence in God. I give my heart to God. This then lays the foundation of our faith. When the writers of the Apostles' Creed, and by the way, the apostles didn't write the creed. The apostles laid the foundation of preaching and teaching, which the later church brought into, formulated into what we call the Apostles' Creed. But when the writers of the Apostles' Creed formulated this confession, they weren't thinking of God in some abstract, philosophical kind of way. It reminds me of the definition our philosophy professors gave us of God in college. God is that being above which no greater being can be imagined. Now, how endearing is that? Right? I mean, there's no sense of relationship with that kind of being. And yet the God that is spoken of in the Creed is spoken of as God the Father Almighty. Not a God of the textbooks, lowercase, but a God of history, uppercase, capital G. This God we confess and put our trust in is magnificent beyond our understanding or explanation, try as we may. One of our church's confessions describes God as a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. In essence, God is all the things we are not. When we speak of God, we find ourselves using words that we may not use to speak of others. We start using omni words, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, in an attempt to describe this one who quite literally is beyond definition, the indescribable one, the one who is wholly other than we are, utterly different than us. Or as one theologian put it, we do not say God merely by shouting man in a loud voice. Yet this God, so unknowable, has made himself known to us in very personal and particular ways. He has spoken his word in the scriptures, which we have and hold dear. He's revealed himself to us in Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, this one we call Savior and Lord, one that we can know and touch and understand. He continues to show himself and reveal himself to us in the continuing indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. The central tenet of our faith is that we believe in one God, but is made known to us and is experienced by us in three persons, a triune God, one God, three persons, one God. And this great proclamation and mystery of our faith gives us the definition of which God we believe in. So again, when asked, which God do you believe in? We can say we believe in the one God, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And friends, that lays the groundwork. That part of our confession is what we will see establishes the form and the structure for everything else we'll be talking about. So what we're talking about this morning and what we will continue to talk about now for the next 7 months is really just basic Christianity. This is basic Christian teaching. Each of the gospel writers sets out to explain in their own words what it is they believe and why it is they believe, what it is they believe about Jesus and why it is they believe him to be the Messiah of God. And they do that with the sole purpose that their readers will come to believe the same with them. So in the opening of the Gospel of Luke, Luke writes these words, "I write an orderly account for you so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you have been instructed." And we can say the exact same about the Apostles' Creed. It is an orderly account that we have been given which states what it is we believe when we say Jesus is Lord. So this morning, I'm going to invite you to stand and let us say together that which we believe. That which we put our trust in, the one in whom we give our hearts. We spoke it earlier in the service. I'll invite us to say it together again. Christian, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Oh Lord, may you seal into our hearts this confession of our faith. It is in you and you alone we trust. It is in you and you alone we have confidence. It is to you and in you that we give our hearts once again this day. And for this we give you thanks and great praise. Lord, hear our prayer. We offer it through Christ our Lord. Hear our prayer.